Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you for the love that you demonstrated, that while we were yet in sin, you sent Christ to die for us. So as we come today, help us to love others. The Bible reminds us that people will know who we are and that you're disciples based on how we love one another. As we come today, might we decrease and might you increase. Bless your word today. And might someone be encouraged, might someone be saved, and we'll be so careful to give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. There's a word that comes from the book of Joshua. We've been kind of hanging out in Joshua for a few weeks, and if you have your Bible, if you have your tablet, if you can throw a thumbs up or praise the Lord, whatever you want to say, I want you to follow along. Joshua, the third chapter, and verse number 6, it reads, Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, very simply, Road Trip, the Journey and the Destination, Part 4. Road Trip, the Journey and the Destination, Part 4. And so we want to invite you on our biblical road trip. If you have not been able to join, we'll get off the exit and allow you to get on with us as we move down the King's Highway, so to speak. It's been a great time of sharing. Plenty of room on the road for you. In fact, we've done parts 1, 2, and 3. If you want to kind of catch up like you do with your series on TV, it's all there at come2harvest.org. And you'll be caught up. To God be the glory there on our website. Let's recap for a moment just from last week. Part 3, we met Joshua. He is a understudy of Moses, intern, and now finds himself in a position to lead. He is no longer in the second chair, but Joshua is now the one assigned to lead the people into the promised land. We talked about preparation last week, and that becomes so important. God's not going to take you to a new place being the same old you. Something has to change. And so what Joshua says to the people, we really can't go into this new experience thinking the same way and living the same way. I'm out on your street this morning. God is taking you to a new place, but there's the old you. Amen. He wants to transform you. And so let's step back and look at Joshua 3 and 5 from last week. He says, he told the people to consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. This sense of consecration, being set aside, being holy, removing some things, sanctifying yourself, that becomes very, very key as it relates to our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I couldn't get away from the word amazing. If you do this, if you put time aside and prepare yourself, I will do amazing things. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I like the word amazing. Amen. And so there is this whole sense of not being mundane, not the ordinary. You know, God can do great things. And you think about where he's brought you from and what he's done for you. You ought to just say, Lord, thank you that you're amazing. And that's why you might love the hymn that says, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, and you know the rest. So Joshua was saying to the people, you got to be in a mode of preparation as we get toward the promised land. Amen? Amen. I want to move on today and talk about order. Amen. As we're on this road trip, order becomes so important. And we know that as we look at this text today, that we can remember the times when we've been out of order. Uh-oh. Amen. Order means there's a certain arrangement. There's some consistency in this life. Now, order means that you can't just get out of line. I know some of y'all were skipping line in school, yeah, in the lunchroom. I did it a time or two. But when you even go to the airport or to the restaurant, you can't just break line like that. Yeah. You know, people start fighting. A certain airline was like that, but they changed their system. Well, there's some order. And so when it comes to living for the Lord and getting to a place where God wants you, it just don't happen. There is a sense of order. And Joshua recognized that God is a God of order. And so that's why he's able to say in this passage we're going to be looking at today, Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and we went ahead of them. So let's just talk about priests. And so when you talk about priests, these were persons who were appointed in a sacred way to teach, appointed to be in certain roles. And so they were picked for the assignment. He didn't say anybody lead the people in with the Ark of the Covenant. He says, I want the priest to do it. And that becomes so important. But unless you're feeling in a certain way, you know, you are priestly. We're priestly people. I love what Peter says over in 1 Peter. He reminds us that what at 2:9, that we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. God has taken us out of darkness into the marvelous light. So you are a priestly somebody. You ought to feel special. Amen? Can I just throw this in here from me? It was already in my spirit. Men, it's not men's day, it's not men's Sunday, but men, God calls us to be priests of our home. All right. We have to be the ones to lead as priests, recognize there's order in being a priest. Being a priest don't make you big and bad. Being a priest means that you have to lead with order. God just dropped that in there. Praise be to God. And so these were persons who were given authority at the right time. But let's think about the assignment. The assignment was what? The assignment for the road trip was to what? To take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass it along. So Ark of the Covenant. And so what is the Ark of the Covenant? It is that particular special made and designed box that had within it, they had the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses there on the mountain. They're in that same box in that Ark of the Covenant. We found that there was manna. Amen. Remember when they got hungry and they were complaining and God said, let me just drop some sweet bread down from glory and you pick some today and tomorrow I'll have fresh. Oh, I'm excited about that, that his manna is fresh every day. Also in this Ark of the Covenant, there was what? There was Aaron's rod. It represented authority. Amen. I couldn't help but think this morning as I was looking over the sermon that some of y'all thought about Raiders of the Lost Ark. So wait a minute, hold on, that's Harrison Ford. That's my man. But before you start watching that and saying, that didn't come out of Joshua. That was really a little bit of fact, whole lot of fiction, but it was a good movie. Go Indiana Jones. And so this sense of importance of the Ark really represents the presence of God. Be careful what you take along with you in life's journey. And you ought to have something in your life that represents God. Amen. It may not look like much, may not have much, but you ought to have a sense of Christ in you. Ever met somebody and you thought they were kin to you, but they weren't, but there was something about their spirit that connected to you, that they were carrying something with them. And that is a message of encouragement. Praise be to God. I like that. And so this sense of God's presence, of course, this ark of the covenant would be placed in the tabernacle, just a tent. So wherever they would go, they would take it with them. Amen. And certain people had to carry it because not everybody could touch it. Amen. You can't touch it. But that is a great way to think about what happens. But this, again, was order. Amen. And as we look further, it says, when you take the Ark of the Covenant, pass on ahead of the people. I like that. He didn't say get behind the people. He didn't say go alongside the people. But God has appointed us on this strip of life. He's put us in position oftentimes to do what? To do as ordered. To go what? Ahead of the people. Now, they say, well, I think I should have been the one to go ahead. If God did not appoint you for that position, then you stay and you follow. Amen? I want to be a follower of Christ. And so Joshua is very specific about what he is saying and what the priests have to do, and that is to go ahead of the people. If we didn't have some order, otherwise we would have a do our own thing. Amen. If we didn't have some order, some boundaries, can I talk about boundaries? We just lose our mind. Amen. Praise God. I remember, I may as well say it, many of us went to college, maybe one or two of y'all, you were goody two-shoe in college. You had a class president. But then when you got to college, you could have lost your mind. Amen? One or two people. You didn't have no boundaries. Mom and daddy weren't there. You thought you were somebody. Amen. But thank God for order. I know some of y'all were good students. That never happened in your life. Amen. But when we think about order, it sounds like disorder. Oh, Lord. And disorder leads to confusion. And we have to be very careful that we do what God has told us to do and follow the instructions as they are listed. Now, Christ talks about this in Matthew in two instances, 6:31-33 and 16:24. 31:33 says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, and where you're going to live. I'll take care of all that. But it says, do what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you do what I tell you to do in this order, then God will bless you richly. Seek ye not second, seek ye not third, but seek ye the first, the kingdom of God. And what? And everything else you worried about losing sleep over, I got this. All right. Amen? Amen. On life's journey, you got to know, God, I'm going to trust you in this. And that's all Joshua was saying. Now, over in 16:24, it certainly talks about this whole sense of Christ saying, if anybody who wants to be my disciple, yeah, you signed up, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. He didn't say follow me and then take up your cross and deny yourself. But do you get where I'm going? Order. Amen. That you have some order on the way. Otherwise, you'd be all over the road with no order. Ever been on a highway that have no lines on it? You just start going on the country. You didn't know who until the next truck came by. You said, oh, I guess that's my lane. But thank be to God for order. And sometimes in life, we try to take two sets of maps. You can't do that. We have two sets of directions in this life. You know, one in the world and then what we believe is God's direction. But thank be to God that there is a map, a road map that we can follow. That is the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, all laid out for us. To God be the glory. But you know what? When I looked at this passage, I'm always amazed by how much meat is in the passage. And there at the end, it says, so, so they who? The priests took up what? The Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of them. Now that says to me, they did what they were supposed to do. There was this sense of obedience. They followed directions. They recognized order, and that's what we have to do. They didn't try to alter it. They didn't try to change it up. And what God has desired for you, go with it. Amen? Go with the flow. Yeah, it'll get bumpy along the way, and roads will get a little crooked, but the Bible says that He'll make the crooked places straight. He'll make the rough places smooth. You just got to trust God. Can I just preach to me today? Amen. I got to believe God that He's going to do exactly what He said. There is order. Over in Psalm 119:133, he talks about this sense of ordering my steps in Thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Road trips. You know, we take road trips and we know they're so important because what? We try to make sure there's a list to do and the things that we try to put on the list and check off. Paul talks over Philippians 2:8. He talks about the one who knows order. Amen. That he what? He humbled himself even to the cross, to the death of the cross. And let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. It's really about your thinking. Amen. And once you get your mind made up with the saints, you got a made up mind for Jesus. Well, praise God. Once you make your mind up, my God, you'll stay in line and you'll reach the destination and the promised land that God has for you. I'm glad about that. And as a result, then you'll be able to testify to someone. You know what? Here's what God has done for me. And there again, here's order. You don't just pop up one day and you Reverend, doctor, deacon, elder, trustee. You know, there's an order. Amen. Praise God. It's not about the position that you're in, but it's how God wants to use you. Amen. And first and foremost, you got to know who Jesus is. Oh, my God. Amen. I mean, knowing him for yourself, and nobody can do that for you. The preacher can't do it. There's not a five-day kit you order from a mail order company, but you're going to say, I am a sinner and I need to be saved by grace. I need you to save me. My God, that's the order. Amen. You don't just jump one place, get to second base, and you hadn't even opened your heart to Jesus. It doesn't work that way. You can't say, I'm on third base about to go in. I can hear my grandson announcing, that's baseball, Pop. It sure is. You just don't go from first to home plate, but there's an order. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, my God, that's first base. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to second base. Now I'm serving because he's called me to serve this present age. There's order. And by third base, you say, oh, wait a minute. I think I know what my gift is now. My gift is to evangelize. My gift is to encourage. My gift is compassion. My God, there is order. I didn't want to go at baseball, but what about the home run? The home run is when you tell somebody, look, here's what he's done for me. Amen. That I never shall forget that I was slipping and sliding. But thank be to God, because I followed the order and because I stayed on the road and because I gave God the praise and because I said, thank you, Jesus. I can now relate that there's someplace to go. My God, you still on the road with me? You didn't get off the exit, did you? God is trying to take us someplace. Amen. If we got to follow his directions, the big word today, the takeaway, order. We've got to have order in our lives. Thank you, Joshua. You just laid it out. Here's what you do, this, this, and this, and you know there's more to come. That is the word of God today. It is already blessed. We want to invite you to Christ. I'll come back.
Come on, man.
Blessed be to God. And when you think about why we, meaning those in the gospel, do what we're supposed to do, it is to let someone know about Jesus Christ. But let me tell you this, it's not the preacher's job. Well, you're the preacher. Wherever God takes you, the order is that they may see something in you, but that you might share with them the goodness of Jesus. If this Christ is so good to you, share it with someone else. Well, Reverend, I don't want to get too heavy. I don't want to bother people, but you bother them about anything else. So why not be a witness today for the Lord Jesus Christ? Bow your heads. Perhaps you come today. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. The goal is, the end game is that somebody might have a personal relationship with you. We thank you even now that your word reminds us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised them from the dead, the Bible reminds us that we can be saved. Salvation is free. Salvation is real. And you've promised us eternal life, but it is a choice. So it is our prayer today for those who may be watching or listening, who find themselves in that category, not knowing of you, but knowing you, that you might save their soul today as you've done for us.